Now I want to talk about some really fascinating research from Melbourne, which looks at the influence of the nervous system on cancer. It's not something you think about. You think about hormones, maybe. You think about messaging inside the cancer, which allows it to spread. The last thing you think about is the nervous system. But there actually are data which suggest that the nervous system can play a role in cancer. And we had a story not so long ago, you might remember, about stress and breast cancer and using beta blockers, which might actually help women with hard-to-treat cancer. Still to be absolutely conclusively proven, but it also shows that the nervous system can get involved here. And the nervous system is chemical as well. So you have these neurotransmitters that transmit information or take information into the nerves back to the system. That's what we were talking about with pain. So really interesting research, which looks at these chemical transmitters in nerves and their influence on tumours. And work at the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Research Institute has found that there's a neurotransmitter that seems to stimulate cancer growth. And it's a similar neurotransmitter to the one that seems to be involved in migraine, or you would say migraine.
Migraine.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Let's call the whole thing off. But anyway, let's go back to the story. The possibility here is that some newer migraine drugs might actually, see, you've infected me, I'm now saying migraine. Newer migraine drugs might actually be useful in treating colon cancer. So it's too early yet to say that. But here to talk about her research is Dr. Pavitha Parathan, who's a postdoctoral researcher at the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Research Institute.
Scientists initially thought that nerves were just used as sort of like a passage that cancer cells can travel on to reach the cancer itself. But now, based on a few other studies, we know that nerves sort of supply and enrich cancer cells and promote their growth.
To what purpose?
We have found in our study that sensory nerves are looking out for sort of noxious or harmful stimuli. So we found that one specific type of these sensory nerves, which secrete a neuropeptide called CGRP. Now, neuropeptides are signaling molecules that are secreted by nerves to sort of communicate not only with each other, but effector cells as well.
By effector cells, these are the cells on which the nervous system is giving messages to do something.
Correct. And we have found that in colon cancer or bowel cancer, CGRP actually promotes the growth of these tumours.
Inadvertently, they're making the tumour worse.
Absolutely. So that really kind of shows you how cancer really changes everything. Cancer cells actually hijack these nerves and they fuel their own growth. But what our paper has actually found that other than these sensory nerves actually producing this neuropeptide, we've actually found that these bowel cancer cells are actually making this neuropeptide as well. So we actually have two sources causing the growth of these cancers.
And you find it in stomach cancer as well.
Yes, we did this in both bowel and gastric cancer, and we found the same pattern.
There is a link here with this growth in numbers of young people developing colorectal cancer, colon cancer.
Yes.
And this is linked to this neuropeptide that you're talking about in some of these people.
It could be, but our research hasn't looked into that portion yet.
So in your paper, you're talking about RAMP1?
Yeah. So RAMP1 actually is the functional co-receptor for the ligand, so CGRP. So CGRP will bind to a receptor complex that is made up by RAMP1, which is the functional co-receptor. So in our study, we used a technique called CRISPR, which is a gene editing technique. And what we did was we deleted RAMP1 in our colorectal cancer cells.
So this is the lock into which the key fits, in a sense.
Exactly.
So you got rid of the lock, so the key had nowhere to go.
Exactly. And once the key had nowhere to go, tumours were decreased.
And the lock seemed to be increased in younger people with cancer. Not everybody, but at a higher rate.
We didn't find that in the colorectal cancer cohort, but we did find that in our gastric cancer cohort that there was a greater number of RAMP1 positive tumor cells in people below the age of 55.
Just before we get to treatment, so these are called nociceptor cells. These are cells that if you've got a painful stimulus, these transmit the painful stimulus to the brain, so you feel pain. Now, some intestinal cancers are notorious for pain. Pancreatic cancer is one of them. Is there any evidence that these nociceptor cells are involved in cancer pain as well, and that there's a link between cancer pain and cancer growth through the nervous system?
That's actually an excellent question. You would definitely hypothesize that that would be a major source, but I'm a bit unclear at the moment at what the research is pointing to.
So in summary, you found that the nervous system is involved, a chemical messenger from the nerves is involved, and sometimes the tumours produce that themselves. This is opening up theories for how treatment might work. Now, some people have suggested that you could actually cut the nerves to that particular part of the bowel or the stomach, and that's going to solve the problem. Have people tried that?
Yeah, so about a decade ago, a group published a very elegant study, did this with gastric cancer. So here they actually chemically and surgically cut off the vagus nerve. And yes, it was successful in reducing the growth of tumours, but you do have a lot of side effects. They also found that the tumours could regrow again. So better treatment option would be targeting this directly without having to do that.
So what are the drugs that could be used to block this chemical messenger?
Yeah, so this lock and key, as you said, with CGRP binding to RAMP1, so this is the mechanism that is the target of migraine therapy. These drugs will either block the lock, which is CGRP, or the key, RAMP1, and these are already clinically available. So our next phase in our research is really going to be seeing how we can repurpose these drugs for cancer therapy.
Why wouldn't you just give them the way they are?
In cancer, the expression is a lot different. There are a range of these drugs available. Currently, I'm working on trialing which one is going to be the most suited for cancer therapy. And we are getting hints that some drugs may work better than others. We know that there are sort of maximum dosages already that patients can be tolerated with. I guess the real important question here is that we also hypothesize that, you know, the key, which is RAMP1, is also expressed on immune cells. So whether it can synergize with current immunotherapies and how well it can be done is one of the questions that we do have to ask before we can run it into clinical trials. As long as people don't get the idea that, yes, you know, if they have cancer, they can just go and buy these and take them. We don't know. And there's going to be a lot more work that needs to be done on dosages, delivery as well, so they could be sort of more targeted to the cancer cells rather than affecting the brain where they're traditionally meant to act on. So that's what the next phases of our research is really going to focus on.
We had a story a couple of months ago on the use of beta blockers, drugs that are traditionally used to control blood pressure, but also stress responses in difficult to treat breast cancer, so-called triple negative, where stress may actually make these tumours worse and that blocking the stress may actually affect the tumour growth. But beta blockers block neurotransmitters. Are beta blockers part of this story?
Beta blockers are not part of this story, but you're absolutely right. So in those cases, they actually used beta blockers in tandem with immunotherapy as well. And they found that they synergize quite nicely together, which helped improve overall patient survival. So even though beta blockers aren't involved in this story, it is, I guess, a really good example at how targeting both nerves into current approaches in cancer actually can be very beneficial.
Pavitha, thank you very much indeed for joining us.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me and for these great questions.
Dr. Pavitha Parathan is a postdoctoral researcher at the Olivia Newton-John Cancer Research Institute in Melbourne.
On ABC Radio National, you're with the Health Report.